catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining the SmackDown post show for April 12th, the first SmackDown after WrestleMania, the new era. We thank you so much for being here. We've got Alex, we've got Sean, we have a lot of subscribers. We have 14,000 subscribers at Fightful Select. It seems like the people working at Fightful move and shake a little bit differently, and that can ruffle some feathers today, but we are so thankful that you guys are here. Please send in your super chats and your humper chats at humperchats.com. We'll also ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video. Helps people find us in the algorithm. We've got Sean here to talk some scoops. But before we do that, Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing great in this new era. We're hoping that this new era brings stronger era internet to you, Kate.
Doing my best over here, but...
Well, she just froze up. It's so fucking great. It's so great.
Every word.
She froze up in the middle of her tantrum. You it's know, so it's wonderful.
It's like she's doing it at 5 frames per second. Like, so she'll speak.
Yes.
Freeze.
I love it. I really love it.
People love me, even though my internet sucks.
Acknowledge the final Ross. Acknowledge me, or you get no scoops.
Well, 14,000 people on Fightful Select.
Damn,
getting
that's
scoops
great.
Over there. We have a lot to talk about. This was a very busy week on Fightful Select. But Sean, you had some things that you wanted to hone in on.
Well, first off, it's 14,000 paid and free subscribers. So for everybody saying, SRS, you're rich. Not quite. We split that about 40 ways here at Fightful. But thank you so much, guys. We became the first wrestling property in the history of Patreon to reach 14,000 total subscribers. Thank you all so much. I know there's a bunch of you that are like, why would I ever pay for wrestling news? Promise me, if you check it out, you're really going to love it. We had news on Tama Tonga tonight. We had the SmackDown plans tonight. We're going to have producers tomorrow. We're going to have We're going to have some pertinent contract news tomorrow, and we had pertinent contract news today. In addition to that, I've been mentioning this a while. Week after Mania, I said I was going to get off Twitter a little bit more. Outside of some live tweets and news tweets, I'll be over on Fightful Select's Discord, and we've got a nice tutorial at the top on how to join that. But let's talk about the news. Just ahead of WWE SmackDown, I broke news on Fightful Select about Dan Ventrell, who just left or was booted from his talent relations role. And one of the reasons why he got booted from EVP of talent is there were a lot of talent that were not happy about how long it was taking them to get talked to about deals. I mean, I'm going to open up a little bit more about the Drew McIntyre thing in the coming days, because there were so many people that were hitting me up like on tweets saying, oh, he's got to be working. He's working. When does he mention it? When does Drew McIntyre mention his contract? This is not an MJF bidding war of 2024 thing where I kept telling you guys, the guy's under a deal. He's under a deal. He's under a deal. Drew McIntyre does not have a WWE contract after a very defined period, in which may surprise some people, and we'll have details on Fightful Select on. But I don't think he was even approached till last month. But a person who hasn't been approached is Natalya, and her deal is up next month. I thought it was in 2 months. I have found out it is in May. So her deal will be up then. And I mean, I don't know how else to put this. Like, listen, is she a lifer? Likely, possibly. However, you can't always just say that. You can't always just guarantee that, especially with changing of regimes, new eras. Listen, like, what are we going to sit here and act like if she doesn't want to go somewhere else, she can't? Of course she can. And guess who will go with her? A guy by the name of TJ Wilson, who is widely considered one of the best agents in wrestling history, one of the best producers in wrestling history. And what we're looking at here is not just somebody who can manage their own priorities in Natalya. She's got like, 16 years of main roster money she's made. And in addition to main roster money she's made, reality TV money that she's made. Oh, by the way, her husband has too. They're good. They're in their giving back phase right now, if you couldn't tell. And I mean, she is universally beloved, as is TJ Wilson within that company. So that was one that I was surprised to learn that they hadn't had talks regarding yet. Another interesting note, no Michael Hayes, no Bobby Roode on tonight's producer lists. Jason Jordan was doing the Bloodline producing. And let's go ahead and talk about that. Tama Tonga, finally in WWE. Now, God, I almost hate that I haven't heard that he had AEW talks, because here's the line of thinking. Every time I'm like, well, AEW didn't have talks with him, people go, oh, you just say that because he signed with WWE, as if WWE isn't putting on like a great show. No, it just seems like the people that WWE end up signing, not that AEW didn't have interest, but either like almost like it's a foregone conclusion that these people will go to WWE. Julia wanted to go to WWE. Jacob Fatu wanted to go to WWE. Tama Tonga wanted to go to WWE. And let me tell you, WWE has not made it a secret that they want Tama Tonga. They tried to get Tama Tonga way back in late 2015. I remember I did an interview with Carl Anderson a month before Wrestle Kingdom. And I just threw it out there like, have you had any talks with WWE? And he said, yeah, I have. And so have all my buddies. And I thought, yeah, you're full of shit. Nope, he wasn't. They wanted to bring Tama Tonga in with all those guys. All those guys. And they weren't able to do it. He wanted to spend time with his brothers. And that, you know, that was probably pretty rewarding for him. But last year, WWE had interest in him and his brother, Hikuleo, and... well, there was a hiring freeze. Vince tried to force his way back in, and they couldn't get a deal done. And Tama Tonga hung around for another year. And look where we are now. Now, the talk that I'm hearing backstage that Fightful Select had reported was that there was talk about he and Jacob Fatu possibly teaming, which would make a lot of sense here. I see a lot of people saying, well, how does he fit? He's not a member of the family, yada, yada, yada. Here you go. I'll do the heavy lifting for you guys. The Rock ain't actually related to Roman Reigns.
It's what?
And also, The Rock on Jimmy Kimmel like 9 years ago referred to Haku as Uncle Haku, Uncle Tonga. Haku and Jacob Fatu's dad teamed together for years as the Islanders. He was named Tama back then, the Tonga kid. So that's a natural connection right there. I know that people were being told about this possible alliance last week. So that makes an awful lot of sense as well. Tama Tonga, good for him.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't know how Solo is going to do on the mic because we're just starting to hear it. I know how Tama does on the mic, and it's very, very well. As long as, you know, he doesn't shout out curse words or anything like that. But
well, I can say as somebody that covers the NXT product that we didn't see a ton of Solo on the mic, but he definitely held his own. He held his own as a face really well. He has a very inviting delivery, someone that's really refreshing, I feel like, in WWE, because he's not someone that's shouting at you and not someone who's overly emphatic in his delivery. I feel like you can kind of get trapped in that WWE cadence. He does it. He has a very grounded approach in the things that I saw from him. So very, very excited to see that. Very happy for Tama Tonga. Obviously, the Bloodline stuff, also Bullet Club history. There's a few ways that they could have gone. Certainly seems like we got some clarity tonight in what was a really fun segment, I thought, and definitely enlightening about what's next for the Bloodline. But anything else that you wanted to talk about in the way of Jacob Fatu?
He has signed. So Corey Brennan had found out that he was telling people this over the weekend. I followed up. I was told much of the same. And the reason he had been kept out was because of a charge that he had like years and years and years ago. I think it may have restricted his travel. Don't know if it still does or anything like that. But I mean, listen, WWE has hired people like that in the past. And look at MVP. Look at Booker T. Look at people that have stuff like people change. And, you know, I'm glad he got signed. He's got a lot of kids to feed. That's what he told me too. He's like, shit, I hope I get signed. I got kids.
He's the old like, Keith Slater approach.
Yes, it is. It very much is as a shoot though. And anytime you meet him, just wonderful, wonderful guy. D-Rose says, could we see Tongaloa come to WWE? Perhaps, but I'm not trying to minimize him or anything like that. But last year when I heard about Hikuleo and Tama Tonga interest, I didn't hear anything about him. And I don't know if that was just me not getting that information or anything, or if there was or wasn't. He's worked in WWE before. I mean, they've had him there before. Boy, that group is wild to look back at in TNA when you think about Tongaloa, LA Knight, and Drew McIntyre. So weird. But
what did those guys ever go on to do?
What
right?
They ever do?
Never heard of them.
I'll have some Hikuleo news this weekend on FightfulSelect.com.
Nice.
And Just Marquis says, after a year of asking you, Sean, Tama Tonga is finally here. I'll tell you what makes me happy. Last January, I had reported about four people specifically that WWE had interest in bringing in. Switchblade Jay White, who signed with AEW because of the hiring freeze. Hikuleo, who ended up re-signing with New Japan because of the hiring freeze. And then Naomi and Tama Tonga. And here we are a year later, and finally they're able to come in. I mean, it was a foregone conclusion that Tama Tonga was headed to WWE, but yeah. Yeah. And awful lot of fun stuff on the horizon by the looks of it. And before I go, I want to send a happy birthday to the late Casey Michael, who was so instrumental in women's wrestling coverage and in my career as well. And it's been almost 4 years since we lost him, and just wanted to wish him a happy birthday because what a wonderful guy, what an influential guy, what an important guy as well. And he's always going to be remembered. So just miss the fella an awful lot, but thank you guys so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. After a very, very, very loaded week, we got 14,000 subscribers on Fightful Select. I will say that throughout WrestleMania week, I've always been very, very proud to work for Sean, but seeing a peripheral glimpse of what he did during Mania week as far as his workload made me even more appreciative of our tribal chief here at at Fightful. My God, that guy deserves every subscriber that we have and every dollar he earns and then some. So very, very proud to work at Fightful. Always, never more than this week. But we've got a lot of SmackDown to talk about. Thank you to Sean for coming on with the scoops. But we've got more going on. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. And if you haven't gotten the memo already, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, would you? 14,000 other people over there have. You have access to the Discord, all of the scoops that Sean teased and all of what we unleashed this week from Sean and some great work that Corey Brennan has been doing as well. You'll also get me and Alex Pawlowski being real weird, playing video games, doing our really fun review. I think it's fun. A lot of other people think it's fun. You might think it's fun too. We do our Sour Graps review and then I make and play video games, usually as Zack Sabre Jr., but we have a great time over on Fightful Select. We also do alternative post shows to what's on the main channel for pay-per-views. So if you're like, Sean was done in an hour, I want something weird that's double the length, you can go to FightfulSelect.com and hang out with us over there. So much value built in, only expanding in the content that we provide. Very excited. But Alex, let's talk about what we got tonight. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good show. We had some matches with some immediate stakes, which I think is important when you're headed into a pay-per-view called Backlash, right? You should set up something immediately. We have new champions galore. We have Bayley. We have Cody Rhodes. So we're going to need to refresh the challenger pool for sure. I thought today was well paced. I'm always going to say I want to see more women's wrestling, but we saw a great match tonight, some good stuff overall. What did you think of the show overall tonight?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was very well paced. You didn't have pretty much no really dead segments, you know. Usually and we'll get to it, we had a couple of quick squash match here and there, but other than that, you know, this is the first SmackDown after WrestleMania. Kind of they're trying to make it big, just like the first Raw after WrestleMania, you know. And like you mentioned, you know, they dropped this little weird thing that they used to do. It's not WrestleMania Backlash anymore, but they are putting forward these storylines ASAP.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the two matches that had stakes and who's meeting each other with those eliminator tournaments. But a couple chats that came in from you guys. Josh Mansfield saying, Corey is the NXT Tribal Chief. Kate, he is the NXT Scoops Chief. All right. We are the weirdos that talk about that show and sing songs and do puns. Mm. So depends like what kind of royalty you're into. If you like Scoops, you got Corey. If you like fun, critical weirdos with sound analysis and very odd impressions, you can join us every Tuesday for Sour Graps. But some more love coming in. Dream Ninja saying, I really enjoyed tonight, especially Naomi referencing tonight was the wrong night to F with me after Jimmy got beat up. Yes. Some nice kind of subtle storytelling involved in there. Mm-hmm. One thing that has been a consistent down is Def Rebel rebelling against making good music shakes my damn head. Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that as we get into some of these themes, but very generic, very stock, not good. I never call for people's jobs, but there needs to be a clearer direction because you saw it at Royal Rumble. People weren't getting pops. And I don't mean in the Roman Reigns, no pop gif way. Yeah. I mean, people weren't getting pops because their music isn't signature to them. All you have to do is look at the opposite end of the coin with that, right? When Kevin Owens' music hits, it's Kevin Owens. When The Rock's music would hit, it's The Rock. So they've got to do a better job with that. Got to do a better job with that. Let's dive in. Oh, we got some more love here. Bad Robot saying, welcome back, favorite post show. I missed you guys last week. It was a busy week, but I missed you guys. Thanks for all the amazing content over the last busy week. Thanks, Sean. Holy crap, that dude. And our wonderful team that was working while Sean and I were there. Joel Pearl doing a lot of extra work. Rob Wilkins always helping out behind the scenes and doing our Supercard of Honor post show. Yeah. We had more shows and less resources available, but thankfully we run really deep here at Fightful, and our team is absolutely incredible. But with the new era we're in, can women please get more time? Yes, I would love to see that. So glad to see Bailey get the love. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that because I am so happy that going into this episode of SmackDown, we're coming out of a WrestleMania where more or less people got what they wanted. We have Bailey as a champion, Cody finally as a champion, Sami Zayn as a champion. Logan Paul didn't drop his title, but I would be surprised if he wasn't losing to LA Knight at SummerSlam or dropping around SummerSlam time. A lot of really productive stuff. People want Rhea to have the title, even though she was technically the heel in that. Everybody loves Rhea. Her dropping to Liv, I think, would be a really smart move. So heading into this episode, before we even dive into the beginning of the show, Alex, how do you feel about going into the SmackDown after WrestleMania? I thought night two was much stronger than night one. But overall, we escaped with a slate of champions that I think people are excited about. Kind of feels like we might actually be headed toward a new era in that regard.
Yeah, it just, you know, night two was definitely, obviously, you know, having that bloodline match heading into night two was what everyone was looking forward to. We wanted to know how this was going to end. So I think that's why night two was so spectacular. Yes, there was a couple other matches in there, sprinkled in there, that were really done well. But I mean, shoot. It feels refreshing.
Yes.
It feels like they slowly gutted out what was the old WWE, in the sense of, you know, the people that were there that were, you know, running things a certain way for the last 75 years. Things have always been a certain way. And overnight, it's like, hey, we're going this way. You know, very, very rarely does anyone announce that something's a new era. We did it with the Attitude Era and that was it. You know, we never really went out there and announced it. So having this come out now and them acknowledging like, hey, you know, we're trying to squash everything that, you know, has happened, it feels good.
And Alex, honestly, and follow through on it, because they've done this before. They had like Kevin Owens give almost that mini pipe bomb and Shane McMahon come out and say, we're sorry, we haven't been listening to you. And then they just continued to spite book. So to say it's a new era and then actually follow through on it was very, very refreshing.
But they did the other one too with when the whole family came out a couple years back and they were like, we're gonna listen to you, the WWE universe, because you're number one. Nothing ever changed.
And then they were like, psych, not so much.
We're the authority.
This refreshing in that regard, at least from a creative standpoint, feels like we're on a much cleaner track. And that kind of is a nice segue into the actual episode, because we do open with Cody Rhodes, who gets You Deserve It chance. And I do want to say, Cody's character is not always for me. I like heels better. I'm more of a heel gal. When I do like baby faces, they're more the Stone Cold Becky Lynch types than kind of this more, I mean, true baby face. Cody is the babiest baby face, right? But as far as Cody Rhodes goes, I don't think there's anybody that you could argue like deserves it more in that regard of like, this guy worked in WWE, was released, rediscovered who he was on the indies, worked in ROH, worked in New Japan, worked in Impact TNA for a minute, started AEW, left to come here, went through an injury, went through adversity booking, which was not fun, won the Royal Rumble, almost didn't get the match that we were all promised, finally gets it and wins it. Let's just talk about that moment. Like, really, to me, even though like the version of Cody Rhodes isn't my favorite, from that's a taste perspective, this guy deserves it. The crowd finally got the satisfaction of him winning. What are your thoughts on that before we dig into the rest of this promo?
You know, I have my love and hate relationship with him, mainly due to just the way some things are handled, but that is just my own weird opinions, which I'm not going to get into. I think that he worked his dream off, basically not his ass off, his dream, because this is something he wanted to do. He wanted to prove it to himself. I think he stuck to a plan, and it's very hard for people to stick to something that they want to do. I think he had to make a really harsh decision, leaving something that he helped start to continue chasing what he thought would be the right thing. And look, it's paid off. It's paid off. You know, this is an all-new company. This is an all-new company right now. And he is the face of this all-new company at the moment. So we'll see where it goes. I can't wait till he loses the belt. Just kidding.
Well, I will say, first of all, I'm not Sean. I'm Kate. Sorry that I pulled over the wrong overlay. Second of all, I will also say, there was a very long chase to get here. Mm-hmm. I would love for her to, I would love for him to not necessarily have a WrestleMania to WrestleMania long title reign. Even if he goes into WrestleMania with the title, him dropping it and winning it back somewhere in that time period, I think would be really good, because there's just something that happens. I feel like it happened with Hangman Adam Page in AEW. When the chase is this long, there was so much magic in that, that the follow-up of the reign can be super impactful out of the gate, but you can fatigue on it. So we've gotten into this era of, across all of wrestling, extremely long title reigns. I wouldn't mind like a 4-month title reign or a 6-month title reign. We kind of feels like we've gotten into this pattern of you can only lose major titles at WrestleMania. And I would love to break out of that too, because I think it would make the road more suspenseful to go there. I would love to see him lose to Gunther somewhere along the way. Could win it back, could have an adjacent to the title story at next WrestleMania. But what are your thoughts on and expectations on the Cody title reign before we get into what he has to say about his title?
I honestly, you know, this is if it was the old regime, I would tell you then, you know, we could already start seeing things being planted on when he's going to lose it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm right now a blank page. I don't know how long they would do this. You know, the whole Roman thing was built on the last, you know, regime that was here. I don't know. I truly don't know. And I want to say this. Are we comfortable with him keeping this going till next WrestleMania and then maybe defending it at WrestleMania again? That's very old schoolish. We saw title reigns like that in the 90s. I know, Kate, you didn't watch wrestling that much, or maybe I...
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age, and it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All in the 90s. But
no.
We saw the major WWE title being, you know, only on the main four pay-per-views. Did you see it? Maybe in the main four, maybe two out of the four was it being defended, you know? So maybe we go back to that.
We'll say Cody was brave. That man came to WWE when Vince was booking.
Yeah. Very, very AEW-like booking, by the way, because their champions hold the belt for significant time. We might be seeing that here.
They do, and that's kind of what I think has made these long reigns feel kind of exhausting, was Roman's was going on for so long.
Sure.
For over half of AEW's existence, right? Yeah. And then in AEW world, you had Max with the longest title reign that they had, and Kenny's reign was long before. So just for the diversity, I watch a lot of wrestling, right? So the fact that I watch wrestling every night, we've had these very long title reigns. I would like to see, just for me as a fan, selfishly, I would like to see those chopped up. But I think you could also have Cody lose and then win it back going into Mania or at Mania again. But let's see what Cody has to say. He brings up being interrupted by The Rock and gives us the "Who the hell told you it was open mic night" line. Some of the crowd laughed very hard. Some of the crowd had no idea what he was talking about. He apologizes for swearing. And he says The Rock handed him something up on Monday. It is a wartime overture that he gifted to The Rock years ago. But he believes The Rock when he says that he's coming back for him. Mm-hmm. He then kind of runs down the potential opponents that are in this Backlash Eliminator matches. And he closes. It's kind of generic, but effective and not 45 minutes long. So I appreciate that. He says that he went from being undesirable to undeniable and now undisputed. I said that's my favorite catchphrase since Orange Cassidy said, "I'm Orange Cassidy and I do not have a catchphrase" as a catchphrase. Undesirable to undeniable to undisputed champion is the story in three words. And I love that. Like, that is a really nice t-shirt. That is a really nice summation. I'm not a catchphrase gal. I like it when people just sound conversational. But that one is like one of the most marketable things I've ever heard, because his first run in WWE, even though Dashing Cody Rhodes is like a Kate favorite, he was undesirable, right? They kicked him out. He became undeniable working back through the whole independent scene and starting AEW, and then became the undisputed champion here. So really, really liked that. He didn't say a ton here, but it didn't take up a lot of time. And you want him to have kind of that opening mission statement-y kind of thing on both brands if he's going to be working both brands. So I didn't mind this. What did you think?
Same, yeah. I mean, it was a very hoorah. I'm here for business. This is what I do. And done. Like, it was, the impact of it was just him wanting to acknowledge his dominance as champion right now. And not in a bad way. Not like in a heel way. But, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do for you. Let's move forward now.
Agreed. Agreed. So some good opening stuff there. We opened the show with Sean Ross Sapp. They opened it with Cody Rhodes. We both got our champions out in front. So get in those super chats and humper chats as we move along into our first match.
Trying to get that rating spike.
That's right. That's right. We're trying to bump those ratings. We're going to show the footage later.
It's quarter hours, baby.
We're going to release the footage of me and Sean in Philadelphia. We came to blows, threw down fisticuffs.
Oh.
But we move into our first match of the night, our triple threat match of LA Knight, Bobby Lashley, and Santos Escobar. And I actually really like what got set up here. Once LA Knight won, it kind of tipped the hand of the second match. I figured we're headed to Backlash. It's probably going to be LA Knight and AJ Styles fighting each other again in a rematch. But that's a rematch I don't mind. And I like what else gets set up in this match. It felt like a very productive use of three guys, because you do have the BFT for the win from LA Knight. In this match, you get a really nice Tower of Doom spot from Bobby Lashley because, oh my God. You have Angel Umberto coming down and getting equalized by Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. So I think we're going to pivot into this Legado versus the Pride feud, which makes me very happy because I think there's a lot of possibilities for that. We got a nice crucifix driver for a two count on LA Knight from Bobby. And man, oh man, nobody should ever try a pump kick again. It belongs to B-Fab. It is hers. It is incredible. It is magnificent. But some good stuff here to consider that we have one match and we get LA Knight winning and we set up a whole other feud. That's a productive use of a triple threat. What did you think of our opening match here?
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad. You know, you kind of, when they were starting the fight, I just, in the back of my brain, I'm like, man, I might be wrong here, but LA Knight, you know, they're doing this new thing now where they're trying to keep feuds going in certain ways, right? And they really, that feud between LA Knight and AJ Styles wasn't scorched. It wasn't like hot off the bat. So here we are now heading into a future battle between these two. And, you know, whatever they're going to do with the Pride and Legado, I'm happy for it. I want more. I really do want more for them.
It does feel like Santos is so special. You want to strap him up with a mid-card title, like, pretty immediately.
Or just put him in the mix. like start sprinkling things. As I understand the year's long. We still got another friggin' 40, whatever, 30 SmackDowns left in the year, you know? So I don't know. It's me being biased, but listen, it's very, very cinema-like, right? It's very movie-like. We're going to put our Latinos versus our black people like we always do on television. These they're TV writers that are writing this. Sure. I'm not saying it in a bad way, but those are the storylines that I remember watching, West Side Story, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like different movies. So very cinema of WWE to pin my Latinos up against my black friends. You bastards.
Will saying, I love you. Use the Brandy line who told you it was an open mic night, bitch. Yeah, that was a nice shout to Miss Brandy Rhodes. I don't have a problem with rematches for Backlash. It's such a quick approaching pay-per-view. Sure. And for it to be Backlash, it should be rooted coming out of WrestleMania. So that I thought was good. We don't have trios titles, and I love stables. So for me, yeah. I would love there to be something for these. There's so many three guys and a girl. Me and Pulaski talk about that. There's like B-Fab and them, right? And Electra Lopez and Legato. So it would be cool if there was a three guys and a girl title. No, if there was a six-man belt and the women can fight over that, that would be very, very cool. So it would be refreshing if there were more stakes in that way. But mm-hmm. The idea of like Santos and Bobby Lashley beating the crap out of each other feels like a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. Give me some of that.
For sure. So we move into this backstage segment, and I am so glad that we have this version of Paul Heyman back. He was a lot of fun with Roman. I like the over-the-top cartoonish stuff, but like sincere Paul Heyman coming back tonight made me very, very happy. And the first glimpse we get of it is Solo Sikoa and Heyman and the rest of the bloodline. We get Uso and I'm sorry, my notes are all askew. Solo, Heyman, and Uso. They're standing outside of Cody's locker room, which has the American Nightmare logo on it. And Kevin Owens, because he is perfect, walks through them and tells them that they're not invited, which I love. And you get Heyman just kind of saying, like, hey, they won fair and square. We got to climb back up the mountain. And I love that we immediately have a different feel for Paul Heyman as the bloodline has now changed and shifted into something else. That makes me very happy. Obviously, the tip of the iceberg of what's to come later, but I actually found this short segment to be very effective because it kind of told me, not that they're going face, obviously, but that Paul Heyman was still like respecting the rules of the ring here a little bit. What did you think of this quick segment?
Yeah, same. It just felt like they were weaving something. Weaving, you know, WWE does that so well, by the way, just integrating little nuggets in between the show that thread themselves to the end. Really effective with just those, that short little segment that they put together.
You know what? I'm going to pull this one up because this guy is such a loser that he keeps paying money.
Oh, shit.
Denise is better than Kate. Kate is an AEW mark. Well, I've said pretty much entirely positive things right now about WWE. So you can keep being a nerd and keep sending us your money. We'll keep taking it. I'm not obligated to read any of your stupid chats. So.
I don't understand it, man.
Thank God. This makes me very, 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 very happy. Zack Sabre Jr. beat Matt Riddle for his TV title back.
Oh.
Big TMDK night for me, baby.
It's going to be that type of night for Kate.
It is, because Shane and Mikey won earlier in the night. And so now all of TMDK has gold all of a sudden, and I'm so happy. So, yay for me. Everybody's celebrating CSJ. Techers unite. Yeah, I love when people call me an AEW mark, and I'm like, no, I tell people to buy TMDK merch most of the time, so I don't know what you're talking about. But whatever. Very happy for the TMDK boys. Hell yeah, I'll be watching that match. Shortly after this, the show kicked off right as Eddie Kingston and Gabe Kidd were getting going. And I'm like, oh, everything that I'm salivating for, the rest of this card is coming up. But Mustafa Ali on that card as well. Jack Perry on that card. Plenty to like over in New Japan because there's great wrestling on most nights of the week. And guess what? I'm a mark for all of it, losers.
Yeah.
So we move to Kayla, who's interviewing the LWO. And Rey Mysterio says that he knows karma will always bite you when you're a jerk, which I liked, just like our little super chatter who's trying to troll me. But everyone laughs off Escobar saying that they attacked Dragon Lee, and Rey promises that the truth will always resurface. Rey is focused on his match tonight, and he's done a lot in his career, but he has another championship run in him. So a good kind of hyping up the match later. He's going to be in that second triple threat. I feel like Andrade probably took out Dragon Lee. I feel like Andrade should be working heel. I think he's most effective in that role. What did you think of this little Rey interview that we got here?
Yeah, same. Another little small little nugget thrown into the show. I love that they do this. I wish other places would take advantage of what, you know, getting this free lesson on how to thread things through the show.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that, you know, not in a bad way. It's just refreshing to see, you know, stories start at the beginning of the show and how they integrate through it, because for a long time we were getting weird things happening on SmackDown and Raw that just, you know, we used to say it here. Why were they doing the interview? Or why did they even talk about this? Like, it makes no sense. And here we are with Rey kind of giving us little golden nuggets.
I agree. I think one thing WWE does well that AEW doesn't do as well is these storylines all kind of interweave and overlap. And I can't,
WWE Mark.
I'm such a Mark, man.
You know what? I don't get this. Here's the thing. You know, you're right, because the difference is we do have television writers at WWE. So they're, you know, your brain, like myself, I learned how to write, and outside of, you know, kindergarten, I learned how to write, you know, for television and film. And it's the story that you weave in, the A, B, C, and D stories within a script. And they do this weekly. And, you know, if you're sitting on the other side on another company, you gotta look at this and say, that works. Let's use it.
I like that there's interaction between all of them. Dave Meltzer had what I thought was a very sound criticism that AEW doesn't do that as much. And so when people say there's no stories, it's like, well, there's actually a ton of stories. They just don't really interconnect them.
They don't interconnect them. Yes.
So one thing that WWE exceeds very well at, I think, is that specific part of it. Mm-hmm. Bubbly Botch is saying the mighty don't leave Chicago without gold. TMDLCWG. Hell yeah. I love that stable so much. Love those guys. Very, very happy for them. They deserve it. Those guys worked their ass off. So good for Zach. Good for Shane Haste and Mikey Nichols. Badu Tito, we see you. Fujita, we see you. Rest of TMDK, they're coming for you. But we're talking WWE tonight. We got some more great stuff. Get in those super chats and get in those humper chats.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if you want your New Japan subscription, if you're like, oh, I'm watching right now, if you want it to be the cheapest that it's ever been, you could get, there's a VPN that you can get. It's a really great one. It's Nord, and you can use the code FIGHTFUL. They have a bunch of money.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/FIGHTFUL, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/FIGHTFUL. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/FIGHTFUL and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/FIGHTFUL. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/FIGHTFUL is right for you.
Well, let's dive in to what was probably the biggest segment of the night here with Tama Tonga debuting in a very, very effective segment. You get Paul Heyman coming out. And what I really like, again, is this very based Paul Heyman. He says they make no excuses. They don't blame anybody. He says that Cody basically flipped the WrestleMania 39 script to win WrestleMania 40 in being prepared for the interference that was coming. Roman Reigns was distracted by Seth Rollins and gave in to his lust for revenge that had been simmering for 10 years from that chair shot. Then he says, but like a phoenix from the ash, and then Solo Sikoa cuts him off. Really, really good stuff. Him saying that there are consequences for these things, and those consequences require change. Kind of teased that they're going to be kicking out Paul Heyman, but instead he goes to hug Jimmy, and Jimmy gets attacked by a man in a black hoodie, as the Bloodline always does, and that man is Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga has a steel chair in hand, and they set him up for that Pilmanizer spot, just like they did to Owens at Rumble, but this time they go through with it because there's nobody to stop them, no Sami Zayn to keep it from happening. Commentary doing a nice job pointing out that Tama Tonga is the son of Haku. Good stuff there. So a really effective segment, because we also see Solo cutting him off, cutting Heyman off, and saying essentially not to call Roman Reigns, that like now it's time for Solo to step up here. So you get Solo taking charge of the Bloodline. You get him replacing Jimmy with Tama Tonga immediately, and him wanting Paul Heyman to stay on board with this, which he probably should. He's the wise man. He was Roman's counsel for like 3 years, and he won't let him call Roman. So I like that Paul Heyman's kind of between a rock and a hard place. We know Jacob Fatu is signed. I'm interested to see if we get like OG Bloodline versus new Bloodline, or what this looks like. But I thought this was a very productive segment, in that we know who's in charge of the Bloodline right now. We know who's in the Bloodline and who's been replaced. We know what the role for Paul Heyman is right now. I thought this was really good, man. I really liked the way it was laid out. I loved the chair shot callbacks. I love Tama Tonga getting this opportunity. That guy worked his ass off in New Japan for a long time. There are a lot of financial barriers in keeping New Japan talent in Japan right now. So absolutely adore seeing this. What are your takes? And then we've got some super chats that we'll get to.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. You know, I don't, it seems like maybe, you know, with Roman not being around, is Paul really safe? You know, they're setting things up. They're setting little golden nuggets for you. I've been using this term a lot today, threading. Those are things that I'm seeing with this new era that are coming out. I'm using those key words because it's exactly what's happening. With the way that they brought in Tama Tonga. Now, here's one of the problems with bringing in like someone like that who was in New Japan for so long and whatnot. The crowd was kind of like there a little bit with him, because normally WWE does such a great job of presenting someone before they show up, like they've done with Jade and stuff like that, to kind of just have him jump in. The crowd had a little mixed reaction, which is okay, because they'll tell his story. They'll eventually. Now, remember, this is a television show, first of all, not an in-house show. So we get to know Haiku-san. We get to know that first before everyone else in the arena does, if they don't know it. So I'm very happy to see him there. Maybe the writing's on the wall. Maybe we see the Usos versus Tama and Solo. Like,
sure.
The rejuvenation of the Samoan tag teams. This is great, because the Samoan families and whatnot, they've all been good on their own. But damn, those tag teams back when I was growing up, when I was watching them, they were incredible. So
they were wild. You had the wild Samoans, I tell you.
I swear to God, you should do this for a living.
I should. DNC Digital saying, so we'll pass down a family heirloom, the hoodie.
The hoodie, yeah, yeah.
That's so excellent.
Welcome to WWE. Here you go.
Also saying, Solo hasn't won a match since Bobby Fish was mentoring Aaron Burr in gun safety, Jesus. But they managed to make him look like a great leader tonight. I have more faith in him than a lot of people do because of what I saw of him in NXT in the promo delivery sector. Like, a lot of people didn't see that because they've just been following him since the main roster, and he's, some of his most powerful storytelling has been him not talking, right? So I am very, very, very into that. And you guys, I think, will be pleasantly surprised. Bad Robot saying, I can't wait for Roman and the Usos versus New Bloodline when Jacob comes in. Then The Rock returns to join the new bloodline, and Sammy joins the true bloodline. I love that.
So what do we have? NWO red and black, NWO gold and green, NWO. So we're literally the bloodline's becoming the new NWO slash what's the other one? Bullet Club.
That's right. There's going to be war dogs running all over this place.
They might be doing it. You never know.
Will saying, funny how The Rock joins a faction. Some drama always happens. Roman better keep his eyes on the final boss. I wouldn't be surprised with how wonderful this heel run was from The Rock if that's the case. Taylor, who's the best. And a 32-month member saying,
hello. Yes.
Really happy to see Tama Tonga on WWE TV. Curious to see what happens with Heyman when Roman returns. Heyman is the most interesting piece of this from an alliance perspective. And what I loved about tonight was you have Heyman now caught in the middle. And it almost feels like Solo Sikoa emerging as the leader of the bloodline.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's almost like he got the rub without winning the title, if that makes sense. Like, if he won the title from Roman, he would be the head of the bloodline, right? That would be the most effective thing for him. Now he gets to do that, and he doesn't even have the title. So I actually think that's a really, really, really good call. Good stuff. Really good storytelling. Really good storytelling there. So I love it. I love seeing it. But we move on.
There's always a but.
We move along to a terrible theme, which bumps me out. We move on to a squash match between Cameron Grimes, who they remembered is on the roster, and they should. He's fantastic. Huge personality and a great wrestler. Versus Bron Breakker, and oh my God, for the love of God. Is Def Rebel like a troll? Like, the fact that their name is Def? Like, I know very little, but enough about music production to know that there's a reason all of this is stock sounding, and it's because it's all stock sounding. It's lazy. They're lazy about what they're doing in Pro Tools. I can tell you that much.
Damn.
This is lazy, lazy work, and the reason it all sounds generic is because it's generic. It's basically stock music, punched up a little bit. This is bad. This is flat out bad. If I can recognize certain like pre-recorded sounds and like prefab sounds, and I'm not a sound engineer, that's bad. That is bad theme writing, and it is lazy, and they need to change it. Like, because it's been time after time after time. What they did with the Creeds, my God. What you're doing with Bron Breakker, like these NXT call-up ones are terrible. Tiffany Stratton's, they had to change back. They've got to make a change because it is one of those sneaky things that you don't realize how important it is. And then when you get really bad music, it becomes like insidious to the product. This was very frustrating for me with Bron Breakker.
I think it's going to have to do a lot with what's been happening behind the scenes. I really, it's none of my business, and I really can't say much about what's happening back there with a lot of different things. I'm pretty sure anyone can pick up on it after this past weekend, but there's a lot of, BC's going around, budget cuts,
sure.
You know, which is crazy when you have a company that's just made like $1 trillion in one night. And then you have, you know, friggin' music they found on YouTube last night.
It's what it sounds like, unfortunately. Like it sounds, you can create original music, but use stock sounds is what I mean by that. Of like,
sure. Yeah.
Stuff that's in Pro Tools. It's like not quite AI, but it's not AI. It's not organically recorded instruments. It's bad. It's flat out bad. And you can't keep doing this to the NXT call-ups, but there's not much to this match at all. You have Ron with some mat returns here and Grimes getting a side headlock in. But this is all Bron Breakker, really. You get some kicks from Cameron Grimes, but a falling power slam that looked great and a spear to end it. Bron Breakker is done in NXT. He had his last match with Bron Breakker there. They lost the tag titles. He gave a post-show promo, kind of a goodbye to the Full Sail crowd. Mm. And he is here on the main roster to stay. I have heard rumors of things that they're considering bringing Baron Corbin up in it. I think Bron could be a star on his own. The work he was doing with Baron Corbin is the best I've seen Bron Breakker after covering him from the beginning of the 2.0 era on, and some of my favorite work that I've ever seen Baron Corbin do. They are a very fun tag team, and this guy, you're seeing these squash matches, when he gets to be a hot tag, he's the most fun hot tag. It's really, really fun stuff. So I would love it if he said, go to the main roster, but I'm not bringing Baron Corbin up with me. Revitalize that tag division a little bit. I think Bron Breakker's the star on his own. He's looked more natural and comfortable with Baron Corbin than he has his entire time in WWE, which, by the way, is like 2.5 years. And he's been, that's how long he's been wrestling. He had his first rep in NXT. So I would love to see Baron Corbin come up with him. I would also love to see Cameron Grimes get used a little bit more appropriately. He's great. I wish they would remember that he was there for more than just squashes and put him on a track. It's hard to use everybody. I get it. But Cameron Grimes is a unrepeatable talent. Like, he is his, there's nobody doing what that guy does when you let him be who he is. He can give you, like, there was a hair match in NXT. I think it was against Duke Hudson, who don't even be started on how underrated Duke Hudson is. But he was talking so sincerely about what his hair meant to him, like in a way that we don't get in modern wrestling with hair matches. And it was so beautiful. And mostly he's been goofy to the moon guy and stonks and all these silly things with the $1 million title. He can do it all. He really can. And he's very special. So I would like to see them get him on a track. But this was all Bron Breakker tonight in the squash. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, that's what I was talking about earlier. We had our little quick match. It's just a good way to continue having Bron Breakker on television. And, you know, people understand, hey, we're, you know, this is our next guy, basically. You know, I think they're going to push him to the moon as well. I don't necessarily want to, like, if they bring in Baron up with him, that's great. I think he should destroy him and be like, I'm on my own now, bruv. You know, except you can't use bruv. That's not allowed on WWE TV.
I think you could use bruv.
You could?
I don't think Will Ospreay owns bruv, but he just kind of owns bruv.
Sorry. You can't just use, yeah, okay, got it.
So, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I like that he's being presented as a big deal. I'm intrigued to see where they go with him.
It seems a lot to, like, the kids are getting some good time. And what I mean by the kids, I don't mean like people that are in NXT coming up. I mean, like, the kids from, you know, the wrestlers that we used to watch as kids, like, it's their time to shine. This is great to see, man.
Yeah, we're starting to see that.
I'm old.
We are. We're old. Tom O'Malley saying, what's up, Kate? Alexis, X-Men 5 was heartbreaking and awesome.
Stop it.
I cannot believe they already went there. The whole series has been amazing.
We are not going to relive the torment. I am in therapy now because of episode 5 of X-Men 97. If you guys want to know more about my thoughts about it, just follow me on Threads, where I am thriving on there, by the way, with entertainment and comic talk. I mean, it's a whole other world. But we are not talking episode 5 tonight. We're talking about SmackDown.
That's okay. I don't even watch X-Men, but I know everybody was in their feelings about it my whole time. Man.
I might need a minute here, Kate. So if you want to roll to a commercial.
I get it. We'll roll to this chat instead from Meet Normus, who says, sup, partners? Let's crank. Yeah. I love that in Virgil's memory.
Sending out the meat.
Let's crank. Sending out the meat business. Were there any meat matches on SmackDown or Rampage I need to check out? I don't know what Rampage had. I don't think Eddie Kingston and Gabe Kidd counts as a meat match because I don't think Gabe Kidd is big enough to be considered meat, but I think he fights like one. I think it's going to feel like a Haas battle in New Japan that wasn't. And Jeff Cobb was also backing up Eddie Kingston, so that's just like the meatiest meat man that ever was. But I don't know. I didn't see the Rampage rundown yet. We'll get that shortly, I'm sure, from... Oh, no, Luis already has it in there. But not like the meatiest episode, but a good one. A good one. We'll move right along here. My notes just say this is when TMDK won the tag titles because I was so happy. I had one screen open and my other screen open. Very happy for Shane and Mikey. Very happy for CSJ. I wrote it in my notes. That's how excited I was. But we also have AJ Styles in the back saying tonight will be the night he fixes what went wrong at Mania. He's going straight for the title and will demolish everything that's in his way. It's not personal. It's just necessary. And he'll step over whatever bodies he needs to and get the damage. Tonight is just a taste of what he got. What he's got for night next week. So kind of foreshadowing a little bit what the result of that was going to be. You could, anything you want to add?
No, not really. It just, yeah.
It was what it was. It was just one of those.
It really was.
I kind of like those, though, because it kind of feels old school of not NWA, they're at a podium-ish, but it's like those pre-hype.
Yes.
I like those.
You're
like
right, those. Yeah. Well, AEW's been kind of doing the same thing too, not from the stage.
Where kind I of do. Those,
yeah.
I love do those like things. Those. Oh my gosh, we have Alex Plowski with your Sour Fowler.
So,
hi, Alex.
We haven't done a Sour Fowler in a long time. I don't
I like, know. Been, you were gone and I was gone and everything.
It's a new
gone.
Era.
Alex, yeah. It's going to be hard for me to be sour because I actually thought SmackDown was pretty good. And also, all of TMDK walked out champions in New Japan. So well, I'm nice. In a great mood.
That's good. Please, good for you.
Please go ahead and ruin it for us.
I mean, wow. I mean honestly, it's more just like disappointed, not angry. Well, sure. one thing makes me furious, but it shouldn't because it's relatively, it's a very small thing, but it makes me furious. Mm-hmm. So honestly, the first thing is part of the Rampage report. They had to stop the Julia Hart match like 3 minutes into it. She had all this kinesio tape on her right shoulder and she was holding it and they went home really early.
Oh, no.
Match with Layla Hirsch. She won with a small package. Yeah, she's
poor
she
thing.
Definitely read that shoulder. I hope it's not bad, but Julia Hart's amazing. She's got a really cool story with her and Willow and Mercedes. And if it's a bad shoulder injury that she's going to be out for a while, that really screws everything up. She's so young, so talented. I hate seeing injuries at all, but that was bad.
That's rough, especially because she just got back from injury not too long ago. So that's a mm-hmm. bummer. Well, our yeah. best to Julia Hart. Hopefully she's okay.
Yes. Okay. So listen, I understand. We got to get a new challenger for Cody. That's fine. And I'm fine with, you know, the series of matches, TM. But, like, do we have to get a lazy Mania rematch to get there? Is there no other way we could figure out if you're going to do LA Knight versus Cody or if you're going to do AJ Styles versus Cody? Do we have to have them face each other? I feel like we got what we needed out of that 12-minute match at Mania. Like, that was
yeah, but was we're lashing back. We're backlashing.
But that not a backlash. We're not. That's as far as I know, it's not Backlash SmackDown next week. I don't know why.
We are backlashing. We're lashing backs.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm never in favor of the of
some
the,
people pay for that.
We don't know what we're doing yet, so let's just run back all the stuff from Mania creative.
I feel like it's a backlashy build, but I understand your point.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen LA Knight versus Rey Mysterio or Kevin Owens, or I would have liked to see AJ Styles versus Santos or Bobby Lashley.
Sure.
I like LA Knight winning the match the way he did because they built to a further turmoil in the three guys and a girl division.
I know. We love that for them.
I love the three guys and a girl division. I think they need belts.
I was just saying that before. Good timing.
So, yeah. Braun not with Corbin. I feel so bad for Baron Corbin sitting there on his couch watching his buddy coming out there and spearing the daylights out of Cameron Grimes. Remember him?
Remember
Cameron Grimes? Gosh, it feels like
we were just talking about
ago.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wanted Braun and Baron to be together, and I wanted them to beat, as you know, the manifestation was for them to beat A-Town Down Under tonight.
Right.
Any second that goes by with A Town Down Under still the champions is bad. So yeah, that's not great. Also, here's the other thing. Speaking of the tag division, Authors of Pain cannot be on two shows at the same time. It's not allowed. You just showed up on Tuesday and took out the Blurry Boys. That's fine. That's your new thing. You're down there. Karrion Kross, if you follow him on Twitter, which I do not recommend, Karrion Kross is out there saying, hey, we're back in NXT. I'm back. I'm going to make this place my bitch again, or whatever he's saying. He seems to think they're there permanently, not just there to mess with the Blurry Boys and go back to SmackDown. If that's the case, why is AOP in a Four Corners number one contenders match next week? AOP could be on Tuesdays or they could be on Fridays. They cannot be on both. I was very, very specific about this with both the LWO and the Good Brothers.
It's true. You
pick a show and stay on it.
It's true. That's true. You did tell them I was there for that conversation. You were very clear about it. We're going to have to bring it up at parent-teacher conference again, which does not make me happy. But Shane Hayes and Mikey Nichols and Zack Sabre Jr. all have titles tonight, so everything's fine.
So nothing sucks.
And Matt Riddle does not. Well, so
that's important too.
Extra smiles, but no, you're right. The brand crossover, whilst all the reports that Corey has said, there's been a lot more cohesion between the conversations with Shawn Michaels and Triple H, them just showing up on both and also being like in important pictures of both doesn't work. And I don't like it in AEW either when it's like the Undisputed Kingdom is in the tag tournament here, but also has the ROH set. Like, stop. No. Pick a show, stay on it. That's what I always say. I've always said that. Pick a lane, baby.
Pick a lane. That's right.
But all right, Alex, how was your watch along?
I was all right.
Did you watch along?
I watched along.
Nice.
Orange Cassidy won.
I watched along too.
And then Trent Beretta came out. And then Chuck Taylor came in from behind Orange Cassidy and stood there. I was like, no, Chuck, don't do it. And he walked past Orange Cassidy to stand in front of Trent to make sure Trent couldn't attack him. And then Orange Cassidy was like, what's going on? And then he walked back the other way. He wouldn't talk to either Orange Cassidy or Trent. He stopped Trent from attacking Orange Cassidy, but he wouldn't talk to Orange Cassidy. Chuck Taylor, he's also all dressed in black with his little weird like side swoopy thing. He looks so goth and sad and emo.
Is he in his emo fade?
I feel so bad about Chuck Taylor. He just wants everybody to be friends and nobody is friends.
He just wants to be best friends.
That's right.
He does.
Cool Hand Ange lost to Saraya's brother.
Zack Knight, sure.
The Karrion Kross clone. And Ruby wasn't out there. I guess she didn't want him to go through with the match, but he did, and so she wasn't out there. And
brutal.
Sad.
Well, there you go. If you want Rampage watch along reviews of SmackDown, you can subscribe to Fightful Select like 14,000 other people.
Also, I'm assuming they added all the time that was supposed to be for Julia and Layla Hirsch to the main event of Jay White and Matt Sydal, but that just made Jay White take a lot of Matt Sydal offense. Like a lot of it. Like the week after they had him get run up and done up by
Billy Gunn by
a man who collects social security checks. Like we can't do that to Jay White anymore. He did win the match, but man, Matt Sydal got in a lot of offense.
Yeah, that I'm sure was injury time allotted, unfortunately. But anyway, Jay White, they got to give some love to an AEW world. But Alex, thank you for coming out and sharing your sour power.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, you're welcome. You and I'll do a collision battle of the belts thing tomorrow, right?
I have commentary at Excite Wrestling both Saturday and Sunday. So I have
both.
We got two shows, both headlined by Ethan Page. So you can check them out. But Athena is on Battle of the Belts, and that makes me really happy. So
that's very good.
Yeehaw. Right. But thank you, Alex.
Yeah. All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That was getting egregious. That was getting egregiously long, but we thank Alex for coming on.
Yeah.
For the Sour Fowler, as always. Going to pull up the right banner this time just to change things up. But we move along to our Bailey segment, which was one of the things I was most excited about on the show.
Yeah.
We got our Bailey kind of babyface mission statement, and she said she gets her crowd cheers, which she deserves, and she says she's proud to be the women's champion. And while it's not her first title, it's the most special because she's part of a new era. A lot of pushing the new era, which I think is becoming exhaustive, but I also get it for obvious reasons. And she says she's part of an incredible locker room, and that she says she knows Michael Cole is going to rag on her for this, but she does thank the fans. She's excited to start her journey and wants to give out a new opportunity. And that brings out Tiffany Stratton, who is annoyed that she wasn't given a shot at Mania. And Bailey is like, well, this is embarrassing because this was not an open challenge.
Yeah.
Which was cute, I thought. And then she says she has someone else in mind and that person is Naomi. And Tiffany says she could have won that title if it was glowing at her, which brings Naomi out. And she calls Tiffany clueless and says that she wants to fight her for that shot. To which I say, just take the shot, because Bailey was giving it to you anyway, girl. Don't be a dumb baby face, but everything turns out all right in the end. And we get into the match. Fun match. Tiffany goes for a prettiest moonsault ever, but Naomi avoids it. Tiffany lands on her feet, and Naomi catches her with a jackknife pin for the win. Solid match. I like Naomi not relying on the rear view as much. I never liked that as a finisher. I like it as a move, but I like her kind of getting the jackknife pin since this was off of Tiffany going for that prettiest moonsault ever and landing on her feet. Seemed like a nice, sneaky ending there. So looks like we're headed toward Naomi and Bailey. Good to see that they are still keeping Tiffany Stratton front of mind, though. That's a very good thing. Yeah. What did you think of this segment and match?
Yeah, we got to acknowledge that Tiffany Stratton is a great talent, but you know, we can't, I guess, feed her too soon to put her out there like, here, you're going, you know, we're going to put a belt or on your, or even near it, you know, this soon, while you're on here. But I enjoyed it, man. Naomi seems to me like she's like, her run at TNA was incredible, by the way.
Yes, it was.
I think that whatever she learned there, whatever craft she redesigned while heading to women's division there, the TNA Knockouts, however they want to call it, is really going to work well with her here. Her match styles have kind of changed a little bit. Like you mentioned, you know, it's a little bit more serious with the finisher now, you know, so I'm going to sit back and really enjoy the outing that these two women are going to give us, you know? Yeah. And we know that they respect each other on, you know, on screen wrestling wise. Yes. Obviously we know they love each other, you know, outside behind wrestling doors or whatever, but this is going to be really, really good. A first test for Bailey here, and it's the perfect one.
Agreed. And I think with Tiffany, she's an obvious Money in the Bank winner.
Yes.
Her with a pink briefcase with Barbie font, Money in the Bank.
God.
Screaming for her cashing in on a Liv Morgan, I think, could be really, really cool if Liv beats Rhea. So I think there's a lot of possibilities there for Miss Tiffany. You don't have to hotshot her right away. Dream Ninja saying, I really enjoyed tonight, especially Naomi referencing tonight. Oh, we read that already, but still applies. Tonight is the wrong night to F with me after Jimmy got beat up. Agreed mm-hmm. with that still. And Will Chisholm saying, Naomi versus Bailey is going to hump respectfully. It will. That should be really fun. And I also like that WWE is getting away from babyface versus heel trope. You have to be super one or the other. Like, this was a perfectly cool way to get there. I dig mm-hmm. it. I dig it. Moving along, we get a quick video package for Austin Theory and Grayson Waller winning the tag team titles. Just kind of emphasizing that this was Waller's first WrestleMania and he won, etc. And we also have New Catch Republic and the Street Profits with Nick Aldis, who says they're going to find challengers for the title next week. So it looks like there'll be tag team action on next week's SmackDown. We also have a Logan Paul video where He pits over his win at WrestleMania and calls himself the real legend killer. And says that I really liked this from Logan Paul. Every event that he's been a part of has been the biggest one WWE has ever done. He should dine out on that. He calls it the Logan Paul era. He came in at a time where this product was white hot. He's been a really important piece of it from the way that they've architected his presence there. That heel, the type of heel he is, should be dining out on that forever. He is not my favorite dude for a lot of reasons. I wouldn't say I look to wrestling for a moral compass, but he certainly has some things that I have issue with. But as far as what's been on screen, we've gotten away from the like childish shots at things that I feel like he's really, really settled in to who he is as a heel. And the athleticism certainly never been a problem. Him in the ring has been very good at his psychology's coming along. So you're seeing these improvements very rapidly from Logan Paul. That only happens because you're putting in work. Wrestling is like the least natural thing you can do with your life and your body. So I give him a lot of credit for that stuff. And I liked the heel promo that we got from him today. Any thoughts on our tag picture there and Logan Paul?
Our tag teams, I'm so happy that they're finally done away with, everything that has to do with the Judgment Day, kind of just like keeping them and having the belts united the way they did for so long and whatever. So I'm happy that they won, but I'm not ecstatic. I'm not waiting to see who they're going to face. I don't know why. I always wanted Theory to kind of just be this badass on his own always. And I've told you this since his title run as US title holder, I always wanted him to just be on his own and do his thing. I don't know. So I'm going to sit back. I'm going to wait around and see exactly what they have planned for them and see where it goes. You know, I mean, the tag team titles are finally split. Now we can have real storylines going on in both shows. So maybe now I'll feel much better knowing that they're set up for success here on SmackDown, knowing that it's just them and taking care of tag teams in the title picture there. Well, listen, everyone knows how much I hate Logan. Hate is too strong of a word. Dislike his antics and some of the things that he has done.
Sure.
I'm going to set that all aside. My shell has finally been broken. I really enjoy the work he's been doing on WWE television. And I'm not going to sit here and deny the fact that he has taken the time to learn, talk to whomever backstage, I read some things, and really wanting to hone his craft. He's doing vignettes, whether he's there in person or he's at home. He takes the title everywhere he goes, So I'm going to give him his flowers here for the first time ever and say, okay, cool. The ball's in your court, man. Don't drop it.
I think you and I are on the same page of leaving room for people to be accountable and also leaving room for people to get better and improve and hopefully mature. If I had a YouTube account when I was a kid, I would have said a lot of dumb shit. So I'm I'm glad it seems that way. Still certainly some issues with some things there, but it is refreshing to see and hear that he has a lot of respect for the business. So that makes me very happy. And you're right, we did escape Judgment Day holding both sets of tag titles. But if you aren't looking for an escape and are looking for a manscape,
oh,
Sean Ross Sapp is here to tell you all about it.
Let's be real. Big nasty pubes are gross. You want that tree to stand taller. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of landscaping. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of manscaping. With manscaped.com and that code FIFA, you're going to save 20% off your order and get free shipping. What a deal. And how about this? They've got a ton of deals on that site. They got a lot of bundles, a lot of packages to help out your package. But it's not just your package. It's your body. It's your hair. They got deodorant. They've got shampoo. They've got foot deodorant. They got ball toner. They got everything at manscaped.com. And when you use that code FIFA, get 20% off your order and free shipping. Just a plethora of different options. Maybe you want to try a little bit of everything. Maybe you just want to try one thing. Well, Manscaped and the code Fightful will get you there. Make that tree stand taller and trim it up a little bit with Manscaped.
Someday I'm going to remember to tell Sean to give me the updated read for that. Someday!
Someday.
But that doesn't change the fact that Manscaped is a wonderful sponsor of ours. We thank them so much. We encourage you to go to Manscaped. Use the code Fightful.
Yeah.
I was saying, I know it may not happen, but I would love for WWE to have some TNA women in Money in the Bank match. Look, they had a blood sport match that Shayna was in. And tons of the WWE locker room was there to come out and support. They also said that they're going to keep that cross-promotional door open. I don't want to say door because I was like, everyone's going to say forbidden door. But they are going to keep those relationships alive, it sounds like. This is what you want from having a competitor in the industry. You want AEW to take the maturity that WWE has and start to institute some policies down with them that make sense and align their business practices better. And you want this new upstart to also create better opportunities for other talent. We've already seen them push for talent to have streaming back, right? That was a couple years ago.
Yep.
These cross-promotional relationships are a thing that WWE hasn't done in a long time. I think it's a really, really healthy sign. And most importantly, you hope both shows push each other to have a better product. So I think a really healthy symptom of all that, I think it's very possible you could see Jordynne Grace showing up in WWE. Again, that is purely speculative. Please don't take that to mean anything. But we move along to the squashiest squash that ever squashed, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven versus Jade and Bianca. This is nice to see. It's nice to see Jade and Bianca staying on the same side of things while Naomi has gone off to the title picture. But you have Jade spiking Chelsea Green and super kicking her and hitting the Jaded for the win here. All great stuff. A lot of people have been clamoring for Jade and Bianca to work together in some respect. I'm one of those people. I feel like it's a very good person for Jade to work with off the bat as Bianca, whether they were on the same side of things or different side of things. I am kind of getting to a point where I would like to see more from Jade as far as in-ring goes. Her presence is obviously incredible. Her superstar entrance is beautiful. She was held off TV for like 8 months. I want to see what she can do now. And I get wanting squashes to build somebody up, but I want to see what she learned at the Performance Center. Like I've seen all this for years in AEW. I want to see what more she can do. I thought she looked great in Rumble. She's been doing well with what she was given before she was in WrestleMania and WrestleMania till now. But I want to see what's next. I want to see what's next. Chelsea Green continues to be a riot. Piper Niven is wonderful. What were your thoughts on our squash here?
It's in a whole new era, you know, because no one's ever seen any other type of wrestling ever in the world. These squash matches are all new to me. I've never seen her.
How they treated it with Punk, right? Like with the Punk return, it was like he was gone from wrestling and now he's back. I don't know if they're going to try and continue with that mentality, but we will see.
I feel like they are a little bit, you know, and I'll tell you why. My thesis here is because, you know, they're putting her out there. They're keeping her sort of safe by she's a great talent, by the way. And I'm not saying this in any bad way. Just any long form matches. I guess she doesn't need them. She's a big presence. She's supposed to be destroying people, you know. So if they took one thing away from AEW was just that, let's continue giving her squash matches, even if she's with Bianca. You know, like, why would you have a menace? Why would you build up someone like that with her presence and just have a 15 to 20 minute match? It makes sense, you know, but at the same time, like, we've already seen it. Now, we've already seen it.
Sure.
We've. But out of 20,000 people in that arena, we all know that there's not a high percentage of people who are, you know, loving WWE that also watch something else. They don't. They really don't. You can tell Tama Tonga came out and people were, there was just a few haze and stuff going on in the arena. So with Jade, they're going to build her up this way and they're going to present this to the WWE audience that didn't watch anything else. She's going to squash people and then eventually it'll lead to a longer match. But
I'm ready to see.
I wish she would squash me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand what's going on. I know you want your suits.
I do.
I want to get jaded.
Suits and squashes, baby. That's what we're looking for here on the Fightful SmackDown post show. We're headed.
I love her, by the way.
Event. She's great. She's great. Excuse me. Allergies kicking in, but we get on Rampage before our main event. We'll do our Rampage rundown. Orange Cassidy defeating Alex Reynolds via the Orange Punch. Renee was about to talk to Orange Cassidy, but Trent interrupting and Chuck getting in the ring and confronting Trent. Anna Jay interviews by Alex Marvez, where she threw a tantrum on Toni Storm. Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa. And AZM appeared and agreed that all three of them were stupid. Anna seemingly joining forces with AZM could be very, very interesting. A lot of people pushing for her to do some Joshi work if she's not going to be heavily featured on the program, because she's looked great lately. We talked about Julia retaining against Layla and a bummer of what seems to be an injury. Don Callis, Kyle Fletcher, and Hobbs cutting a promo backstage where Callis chopped the hell out of Hobbs as a boy. And then Hobbs Fletcher would wear down Danielson for Ospreay on Collision. Zack Knight with Saraya and Harley Cameron defeating Angelo Parker. Kyle O'Reilly speaking with Rocky Romero and wishing him luck, and Roddy confronting O'Reilly for wanting the title and said that it would be cool if he got a shot at the belt. Strong said that he respected it if he was going to try and hold his own, just as long as it did not involve him. So some interesting developments there. I am still so in love with the fact that Kyle O'Reilly's back. He's just my dude. A video package promoting the Ospreay and Castagnoli match that is set for next week's Dynamite, and Jay White defeating Matt Sydal via the Blade Runner. So a good Rampage, but we got a chat here saying, to be fair, WWE did show pictures of Kenny and the Bucks before Cody came out to Mania, so they're slowing down, acting like the fans are dumb. Oh, so yes, I think there's a big difference between showing Cody and the Elite and Tama Tonga, though. They're just different level caliber performers, even just from the fact that they all perform in America. And Tom Tonga's on a paywalled service in a different country is a different type of thing. Heading to our main event, though, we get Rey Mysterio, Kevin Owens, and AJ. Kevin Owens in the back with Byron, absolutely killing me with this promo. He asked for the cameraman to follow him. He's talking about the cool long production shots. I call it the West Wing shot, the walk and talk. And he just takes the microphone. He's knocking over CM Punk shirts.
I love that, by the way. Little subtle thing there.
He's talking about how him and Ray have so much in common. They have sons that are taller than him, but that Ray's son is dumb and that his is awesome. Just absolutely cracking me up. Kevin Owens is just like the most perfect wrestler in the world to me. He wants the title, and he's going to beat them both to get there. And for the record, Owens did get his tracking shot. Absolutely adore Kevin Owens calling out the production changes and just being like, we're going to do it. So he heads to the ring. We got a really fun match between all three of these guys. No surprise, they're three of the best in the world here. But Ray going for a Hurricanrana and AJ catching him. Hits an avalanche Styles clash, dropping Ray onto Owens and pinning Ray for the win. I loved this main event, especially the Kevin Owens pop-up powerbomb into the Pele kick spot with AJ. Very, very fun. I liked a lot of the in-ring that we got here. A lot of fun storytelling. And no, like, shenanigans. This just was what it was. I thought it was a blast. Once LA Knight won, I figured AJ Styles was going to win to set up the rematch. But a couple of chats on this. Apex Calibre saying, AJ loses at Mania and isn't a number one contenders match, huh? Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot, unless you were going to do Orton in there again. I don't know what you do, but for a triple threat, I can buy, even with the loss, even though it doesn't make booking sense, you're right, I can buy that AJ Styles is one of the six most important people that can be going for a contendership. And Jacob saying, With KO stuck in the same position with no story, Kate, if you were KO, would it be time for a change, entirely different personality, or go to AEW? I would love for him to turn heel and go after Sammy's title. Those two should be around each other as much as possible. But I think you'll probably see him in something meaningful around SummerSlam. And again, I don't have a problem with this for him right now. He's one of the most reliable wrestlers in the world. But if it were up to me, Kevin Owens would be a world champion of every promotion all the time. Like, that guy to me is just the best. I don't have a problem for this right now. But after Backlash, I would like to see him on more of a track. What do you think about that with KO?
Yeah, I would like to see him back in some super big, meaningful matches. It seems like he's kind of just been floating along and just kind of, you know, flip-flopping between wanting to beat up his friends and being loud and coming back and being loud, but now being friends with everyone again. By the way, the Styles Clash off the second rope.
The Avalanche onto, one is nuts.
Yeah, that thing is
scary.
Phenomenal. Yeah. I like that.
Phenomenal from AJ Styles? Phenomenal. Get out of here.
By the way, his song sucks. I don't like his new song. I know that he's trying to be a heel and that he needs some heelish music, I guess, but it was bad. Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this? This is not AJ Styles. This is some weird guy that now works for the company.
These Def Rebel remixes and songs are not good.
No.
They're not good, unfortunately. But a fun main event to close us out for sure. And then Zack Sabre Jr. won the TV title back. What a night of wrestling.
Great week of wrestling, my friends. Shout out to Kate. Shout out to all of us here watching tonight. Fans.
Hell yeah.
You know, shout out to just everything. I don't know, man. I'm happy.
Shout out to everything.
I'm just happy. I was nice to Logan Paul. And I haven't even been token up or nothing, man. I'm just happy, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it is 20 of midnight on a Friday night. So if you did, I wouldn't have even blamed you. But Alex, that is our show for tonight. Where can the people find you?
You can find me at... Wait, I can't get my address like that. Only Kate has my address. You can find me on Threads. It's where I've been at a lot as of late. I've been taking a backseat to the old Twitter machine. It's becoming very toxic and very bad in there. Something positive is being written and I'm only following my friends and only seeing my follower feed, it seems to me things, I mean, God. Anyway, but yeah, follow me on Threads. Follow me on Instagram at Alexis Cardoza. We're going to be having some fun out there. And I got a new show that's going to be coming out soon.
Hell yeah.
In case I missed it, we are now, you know, I know Kate saw it. We are in the casting phase. We're in pre-production. And I will be putting out some updates on that real soon of the cast of great people that will be a part of that. And yeah.
Love that for you.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Couple more chats that came in at the buzzer here. Rocketeer saying Solo is to the Bloodline as Triple H is to DX. I like that comparison. I think you're going to see a lot of possibilities as we head to possible stable implosions. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And while saying AJ is already weird, Mr. The Earth is flat. Well, I don't know what the Earth looked like to take in the Avalanche Styles clash, but man, he looked great in the ring today, but I am a firm believer that the Earth is in fact round. So
thought it was flat. Sorry.
Sorry to AJ Styles and sorry to you, Alex, but you can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can catch me on Fightful every Monday on Fightful Select with Alex Pulaski reviewing Raw and playing video games. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on the main channel doing NXT, ROH, and your SmackDown post show. Excite Wrestling tomorrow and Sunday. You can catch me twitch.tv/Excite Wrestling. Looking very forward to that. Ethan Page, the Excite Wrestling champion on both days. So be sure to check that out. Been all over the place. We've been to Philly, back to Jersey, back to other parts of Pennsylvania, headed to upstate New York, hoping that there's less allergens up there than there are here. But we hope you have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Watch what you like, for the love of God.
Yes, please.
Enjoy wrestling. We're out of here. Have a good one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.